Well, an air of uncertainty is hanging over Japan after North Korea fired a missile through its airspace. But what do we make of this? What should the US do? What should Japan do? This is perhaps one of the greatest and provocative moves North Korea's made this far. So, to discuss this further, I'm joined by Dr. Robert Patman, international relations expert from Otago University. Good morning and thank you for your time.
Good morning, Chris. It's a pleasure.
What's your reaction to this news, and what does this mean for the US?
It's a worrying development, stating the obvious, I know, but the US and South Korea have recently been carrying out joint exercises, partly in response to the earlier missile tests that the Kim Jong-un regime had taken, the intercontinental ballistic missile test, which took place on the 5th and the 28th of July. And that alarmed the United States, and there was an exchange of rhetoric between the United States and the North Korean regime, and that subsequently led to an agreement between South Korea and the United States to conduct, with perhaps more vigor than usual, exercises, joint exercises. Now, the regime in North Korea has cited these exercises as a sign the United States was preparing to invade North Korea, and the dictator in North Korea claims that's the reason this missile was fired, to warn off that possibility, and that he argues that this provocative act of launching this missile, which flew across the airspace of Japan, was fully justified. Interestingly, it flew over Hokkaido in northern Japan, an area where the United States and the Japanese military have conducted exercises in the past.
Dr. Robert Patman, having said that, though, some commentators also suggest we have to be very careful not to overplay this, given the fact that if North Korea wants to launch missiles, long-range missiles, so to speak, it will have to go over the airspace of neighbouring countries. So where do you sit on this?
Well, let's put this into some sort of context. This is the first time North Korea has actually fired a missile over Japanese airspace. What's happened in the past, they have launched satellites, what they claim were satellites, which intruded over the airspace of Japan. And Japan's reaction to this is naturally one of concern, and has warned that it will be looking to cooperate with the United States to escalate the pressure on the North Korean regime. And Mr. Trump has made it quite clear that North Korea's latest missile launch, as he puts it, signals contempt for North Korea's neighbours and the UN. Remember, part of the problem here, Chris, is that North Korea refuses to abide by the resolutions passed by the UN Security Council constraining the development of nuclear weapons in North Korea.
And but what does North Korea stand to gain, though, from producing this provocative action? What do they think they're going to achieve by this?
Well, first of all, North Korea is totally isolated and will be even more isolated after this. But it believes, you see, what we have to take into account here, this is a dictatorship led by someone who's actually eliminated members of his own family in order to consolidate his grip on power. So he sees these acts of defiance as legitimizing devices for his regime. And he believes that while he has a nuclear capability and has the and can demonstrate the capability to develop and deliver a nuclear weapons capability, then he will keep his enemies away from his regime. He's under a lot of pressure as well.
From who?
Well, the UN Security Council passed a tough round of sanctions just shortly before the rhetorical war of words between Mr. Trump and Kim Jong-un on the 5th of August. This was a very important measure because the Americans had been pushing the Chinese. China is the major provider of a life support system for the North Korean regime. They provide both fuel and also food. And also, most of North Korea's exports, many of them go to China. Now, China has taken measures to rein in its economic interactions with North Korea. And some estimates say that could cost North Korea more than $1 billion a year. So this act of defiance has many, multiple audiences. It's first of all demonstrate, it's supposed to be, I think it's designed to demonstrate to Kim Jong-un's potential critics within his own regime that he remains strong and defiant and that everyone is to rally around him.
Well, no doubt he's motivated by ego, but did you hear when President Donald Trump recently said, and I'm paraphrasing here, I think North Korea is starting to respect us, folks. I think North Korea is starting to respect America. Is that just the president mouthing off, or do you think he's trying to send a clear message of in some weird, weird, superficial friendship?
I think Donald Trump has adopted a combination of stick and carrot when it comes to Kim Jong-un. He did speak in very tough terms, which unnerved a lot of people. He spoke about North Korea would face fire and fury, and he also added that America's weapons were locked and loaded when it came to any military options with respect to North Korea. He's now just said, after the recent missile test which went over Japan, that all options were on the table, and that he indicated he was extremely disappointed by North Korea's response. But he has mixed that up a little bit with occasional soothing noises, such as sitting down with the Kim Jong-un and trying to negotiate a better relationship. And he has recently said, after the war of words, there were signs that Kim Jong-un was beginning to draw back. He began to downplay a threat to Guam, where the United States has a presence, of course. And President Trump, as you indicated, seemed to want to reward him for showing some sort of common sense, as he put it. But I think that's probably premature. And from Kim Jong-un's point of view, he probably needs an external enemy of some sort in order to justify the repressive regime that
You're right, to justify his existence. But I do wonder, and I think I've asked you this question before, if Dennis Rodman can meet the Supreme Leader, why can't Trump?
Well, you know, first of all, it's not just...
In China, for example.
States. Yeah, it's not just the United States and China. This problem affects a number of countries. It affects South Korea. It affects Japan. And it affects New Zealand. It affects a number of countries. Why? Because the Asia-Pacific is now the engine room of the world economy. If you look at New Zealand, 70% of our trade and investment is in that area. So it's not just the... an issue that can be confined exclusively to a few actors involved. It has wide ramifications. And I think, to come to your question, one of the reasons Mr. Trump can't simply sit down with him, because he would, in effect, be giving the green light to the fact that the North Korean regime has not complied with the UN Security Council on curbing the development of, engaging in nuclear proliferation. And, that would upset America's allies if Mr. Trump sat down, if North Korea showed no signs of moderating its defiance. So I think the government in Washington has not ruled out negotiations, but it wants, and indeed everyone wants a diplomatic settlement. And here there's no difference between China and the United States. The question is how to get it. How can you get Kim Jong-un to curb this provocative behavior and create an environment where negotiation can take place?
Well, clearly this deranged man is motivated by ego.
I'm not sure he's deranged. I think he's like many dictators. He does what's necessary to stay in power.
Right.
And he's involved. He's interested in self-preservation. And you know, one thing, I don't think we should describe him as deranged or a nut or anything like that, because that basically, from his point of view, what he's doing is quite sensitive, quite sensible, because he is increasing, he's warning people who might want to undermine his regime. And let's face it, North Korea, many people are suffering in that country. They can barely feed themselves. He's warning anyone who wants to undermine his regime that they'll pay a big price, that he's developed military capabilities which will extract a very big price and impose a lot of costs on anyone who thinks about trying to encourage regime change in his society.
And so it goes on. Dr. Robert Patman, international relations expert from Otago University, I thank you for your time this morning.